You're listening to the Ones Ready podcast, a team of Air Force special operators forged in combat with over 70 years of combined operational experience, as well as a decade of selection instructor experience. If you're tired of settling and you want to do something you truly believe in, you're in the right place. Now here's your favorite CCT personality, JTAC extraordinaire, embracer of the ridiculous face, and like the shortest operator you'll ever meet, Peaches.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Ones Ready podcast. We're happy that you guys decided to join us again. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Buzzsprout, YouTube, anything that you can find us on. Subscribe and please, please leave us a review. It means a lot to us and it helps all of the search engine stuff. And man, we want to hear what you guys think anyway. So leave a review and please comment. Some of our friends that work in the industry, Alpha Brew Coffee Company, Eberly Stock, and Strike Force Energy. Please go to their site, support them, because they are supporting us. We also have a promo code with them. It is Ones Ready, and you guys will get a good discount from those folks. They're going to take care of you because they're helping us out.
It's so, moral support.
Yeah, moral support, because we need it, without a doubt. Today's episode is going to be a slightly different format than what you're probably used to. Obviously, we're missing Aaron right now, but we wanted to talk to you guys about some of the family and personal life impacts that you guys can expect once you're in this career field. So we kind of compiled several, many questions that we get that are just kind of common themes, and we wanted to address those in this kind of form. So we're going to kind of give our own personal experiences and what we've dealt with, and hopefully it'll help you guys out. And then there's obviously some other questions that are kind of box standard, and you'll get the point. So I'll go ahead and kick this one off, unless you guys have anything to add.
No, we're definitely going to be talking about the family. If you guys are a person that has a family or thinking about having a family, we get a ton of questions about, like, hey, I've been dating this girl for a long time, or I've been, you know, my wife and I are married and she's hesitant about me joining this career field and she wants to know what it's all about and if we can have a regular life. Well, I'm gonna break it to you right now. It's not gonna be a normal life because that's not what we're about.
What's normal though?
Yeah, exactly. Normal is, yeah, I guess normal compared to everyone else, like all of us right here, it'll be normal. But you know, compared to the dude that stocks shelf at Walmart and goes home, not so much.
So, if that dude gets yoked though. Is he? I don't know.
Yeah, he's got gigantic shoulders from.
Yeah. That's right, brother.
Here we go.
What is the first time you get to see your family after you went to basic? Like you personally, what is the rule now, but at what point during your career did you first get to see your family after basic?
All right. So I'm going to start with, I hope my parents don't watch this because I don't want to embarrass them, but actually I thought it was a pretty good thing. My father was in the Air Force, and before I shipped out, he kind of looked at me and was like, his attitude was, it's Air Force basic training. If you don't graduate, like, you know what I mean? So
you're not my son.
Right. So at graduation, your parents can come, but my parents did not show up because, you know, it's not like I came from a super rich family or anything. And also, it's Air Force basic training, so it wasn't seen as like some huge monumental event. So I didn't see them until about halfway through tech school, I guess, when we went on Christmas break or winter break or whatever is politically correct these days. And I went home and was able to see my family about 6 months after I joined.
Okay. How about you, Brian?
My family flew out because no one in my family had ever joined the military. Like I said on a couple previous podcasts, like pretty much nobody in my family was military and they didn't know anything about it. They just knew like, oh, you're an airman now. Congratulations. We did the whole whole thing and went down the Riverwalk and walked around with all the other people that had no stripes and they were walking down the Riverwalk with their families and shaved heads and everyone was thanking me for my service. And I was like, I haven't done anything.
Hey, were you going down the Riverwalk, kind of standing at attention too, just almost marching?
You stand at parade rest in line for an ice cream.
Yeah, you're like, exactly.
Thank you, sir.
Your pants are like up to your belly button because that's where they sized them, and you just feel super weird.
Yeah, so that was the first time I got to see my immediate family. I didn't have a wife or anything at the time, so it was just like, hang out with the family for a couple of days. And the next time I saw him after that was until, I guess I graduated Kirtland, honestly. So a couple of years.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty yeah. long for, yeah. for me. It was, they came to graduation and then I spent a significant amount of time at NDOC, which then went to winter break. And so it's like, all right, well, I'll go back for that too. But I didn't have enough leave saved up. So I ended up kind of going in the hole, but they let me go anyway, because if not, they were kind of worried that we were going idle hands get in trouble. You know what I mean?
Well, all the cadre want to go home too. If all the students don't leave, then that's just more stuff we have to take care of. So it's basically, yeah. it's encouraged during that time that you go home, go back to where you came from.
Exactly. But I mean, I tell you what, dude, I was so young that I was so homesick. I just, you know, really my first time away from home. I grew up in a really good household and it was rough on me just being that young. And I think that translates into why a lot of the older guys do well in the pipeline and why a lot of the cross trainees do, because they already have a life at that point and they're trying to improve and move forward. Whereas I didn't really get that concept as a young dude.
Yeah, right. I tell the same thing to all the people that ask, like, am I too old if I'm 29 years old to do the pipeline and stuff? It's like, at that point, you're mostly the person that you're going to be for most of your life. Like, I think, honestly, 25, 26, 27, in that area is where I really
frontal started. Frontal lobe development?
Yeah, where I really started to form the person. I stopped, like, why am I going out and doing all this dumb stuff when I could be doing something to further the rest of my life, because I hopefully have another 50 years or so after my 30s. But anyway, that was when you kind of develop and you're kind of setting your decisions and your situation, you're like, all right, I'm telling my family I'm going to do this. So, you know, I can't go home to my wife and my kids and say that I failed and that kind of thing. So that kind of kicks in. I think we talked about that in some of the other podcasts, but yeah, I think that's really important whenever you get to that age.
Cool. Position. Well, so since we're talking about family anyway, for PJs, Brian, specifically, if a guy is married, we've got a cross trainee or maybe even a new recruit that happens to be married, for a PJ, because this is different across, you know, the three special warfare career fields, but as a PJ, when will your wife get the move with you?
All right, so you're going to do your basic training thing. You're going to go straight into the development course, and then you go to ANS. After ANS is pre-dive, and then you go to dive. So all in all, a couple months there, and then you PCS from dive school over to Kirtland Air Force Base, and that's where she'll actually get to join you, and you'll be able to live in a on-base housing kind of thing. Spouse lives with you, and you get to kind of have a normal life. You'll be training and you'll be like running to school and do all that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, once you're done training, and if you're not TDY, then you'll get to go home and you'll get to see your wife and she'll get to hang out with you. So that's how it is for the PJ pipeline. I'm not sure about Trent, Jared, what you guys got on the CCT side of the house or SR.
So, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before the podcast. With the way that the pipeline is working out, it looks like it might be a PCS to Pope to the apprentice course, which just like the PJs would be the first time I think that your wife would be able to come out and join you because of the length of time that our guys are going to spend there. But yeah, I mean, regardless of if it's there at Hurlburt, you know, you're training, you get to come home, your wife or significant other is going to learn all kinds of fun new words, you know, learn what being smoked means and all kinds of other interesting things that happen to you.
Yeah, how to do laundry really well, or if you learn how to do laundry yourself really well from all the mud and all the freaking fun times going through the pit.
Were you dragged through the mud today? And it's like, well, yes, I was. Actually, I dragged myself through the mud.
But Trent, that is if this new initiative gets approved, right now they meet you at Hurlburt Field during once you arrive at STTS.
Yeah, I think typically that's what most of the people do. Yeah. So,
and that's the same for combat controllers. So,
I think I want to take the next question because I'm super excited about it because we get a lot. So I'm going to ask Brian, and it's kind of an open-ended question, and I didn't attach time frame to it. How many days are you gone every year?
Well, I will tell you, my first 2 years of PJ, I was gone over 300 days. And that was when I was stationed over in England. You know, I was obviously the new guy when I showed up in England, and I didn't want to be that guy that was like, well, I don't really want to go on this TDY or like turn down stuff. I was excited to go on TDYs, and I really wanted to do everything that I could because I was like, finally, I'm free. I'm operational. I can go do real, you know, big boy things. You know, people were still holding my hand because I was a new guy, but still, I got to go out and do cool stuff. So I said yes to every TDY, and I think I've mentioned it before. My first TDY was with Peach over in Vegas, which I didn't really honestly need to go on. There are only like a couple line items that were going to be signed off on that trip, which is, you know, ECAS for me, because it was a trip to Nellis to do some bomb dropping basically. And I was like, sign me up.
Yeah.
So I mean,
you know, so your offer and I'll go.
Yeah.
Does it actually stay in Vegas, what you guys did? I'm just assuming that you guys, you know.
Well,
yes, there is an event that happened that is definitely staying in Vegas.
Oh yeah, there is. Definitely.
That, well, yeah, you just remembered it.
Yeah, that was fun. Anyway. So
yeah, I'll say that for when we're not recording right now.
Once we turn off the recording. We got to, you know, I got to go and do a lot of cool stuff, but I was gone over 300 days my first year. Obviously, I was in a mostly civilized countries where I can just have my phone, talk to whoever I needed to, my family and stuff. So there's still ways to keep in contact, but you're going to be on the road a lot, especially your first couple of years trying to get those upgrades and job out so you can get that next level.
Yeah, and that was an interesting time. Because while we were there, or maybe it's a, you know, 8 years out there, it's kind of a blur a little bit. But there was a time where we were going to move the squadron to a different location, just pick up and move it, and it didn't end up happening. But they had also turned off moves, so we weren't getting experienced guys and we weren't getting new guys in, and so people are still leaving though.
Oh.
And it was like, well, so the guys that were already jobbing at, you know, 250, 280 days out of the year, bump up because those requirements, those mission requirements still existed. They weren't going away.
Like those don't shrink means, when you lose people? That's weird.
Yeah, funny how that doesn't work.
Yeah, so, I must have gotten there right after you guys turned the faucet back on, because there were only three J's there whenever I first got there.
Yes, so that's why there were so few.
Yeah.
Which why it took so long for upgrade, for, you know, it takes a long time to upgrade PJs anyway, but that was part of the challenge, because if I remember right, I was the only JTAC instructor out there, and man, it was busy.
Yeah, the new guy shows up and like you guys are like, we're so happy to see you. They're like, this isn't the reception I was expecting, but you're just, please help us.
No, they
dude,
actually,
we used to drive to London to go meet the guys at the airport.
That's what I was going to say. The commander and everybody met me at the airport, and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Everyone's like excited to see me. Why are you so excited?
Hey, like, please go TDY to work. Next week. Have fun, bud.
Yeah. Get to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet. Fun though. I mean, to be honest though, I'd rather be busy than just kind of sitting on my thumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what was it like for you guys as far as time away and for the first couple of years?
Oh, you take it, Trent.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I mean, it's pretty similar to you, Brian. Those first 2 years were 300 plus days off station both years, and it was glorious. You know, you show up, and it was funny though, cause I showed up at my unit, and, they were like, hey, and I showed up in March, and they were like, you have a training slot for January to go to STTS or AST. It's a long story. I'm not going to get into that. And they're like, you're not going to do anything until then. And I was like, cool. 2 weeks later, I TDY, and then I ended up deploying before I even went to STTS. But, I mean, it was awesome. But, like, it's the same way. Like, the thought didn't even occur to me to try to say no to TDYs, because it's like, this is why I'm here. This is amazing.
You're training.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay. So, full disclosure, yes, there are trips that you will have to go on that are not fun and they're not great, and you will go like, why am I here? Like, what are we actually doing? But those are few and far between. Most of the trips are awesome trips where you're like, dude, I am broing out. And we bring support people with us, like shooting schools and driving schools and all that kind of stuff. It's just a blast. And why would you give that up?
The only real trips that I can think of that I would think like, why am I here kind of thing, was those ones that we were doing like the ORIs, and we were sitting there in Mop 4 and we were just like hating life, like taping off all these little cordons or whatever and looking for yokes. So that was the only time that I was, but we were still in Romania and it was really awesome. So
yeah.
I mean,
so you're like, well, it's not all that bad.
This is dumb stuff, but you know, I'm still in a cool country.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was, let's see, my first assignment, it was pretty much a back-to-back deployment from Afghanistan to Iraq with some training beforehand, training on the back end, and then I PCS'd right over to England. And once I was in England, I was pretty steady going, except for probably the last year or two, a good 250 to 300 days out of the year. So got a little sporty occasionally.
And I think though, like, you know, those first 2 years, and I've talked about it before, is I talked to people when I was training to become a Saudi at the time, and then my first few years on team, yet I didn't talk to my family that much, you know, like I'd try to get home when I could. But I mean, yeah, I was busy, and I don't know, you kind of just, I lost track a little bit of my family and where they were and everything that was happening. And, you know, like the greater world, it's funny, like the NFL, all of a sudden, you know, I used to be kind of like an NFL football fan. And during those 2 years, like I lost track of all of that, you know, and by the time I made it back, I was like, well, who won the last two Super Bowls? And people are giving me the stink eye. Like, how do you not know this? I'm like, I've been busy. You know what I mean?
At least for the overseas guys, whenever there would be a trip back to the States and that guy was training, a lot of times just to save money so he wasn't buying an overseas ticket, he would go on a trip, or, you know, go on a TDY and then like on the front end or the back end, go visit their family.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And honestly, it's just like you said, Trent, it was kind of all just mixed together from one country to another country. You're like checking passports at that point. Like I remember my passport book was just filling up and we're just traveling all over the place, jumping in Normandy and like I said, Romania, Norway, just all over Europe. And it was really awesome. As I was 22 at that time, and I was just, you know, wanted to go and see the world and just travel. And that's one of the things that I love the most about England, because you're traveling with all of your best friends to different countries, getting into, you know, really awesome situations and really dumb situations that but at the end of the day, you know, you make it out of there and you laugh about it, all the things that you got to do. but it was really awesome to be able to go and just experience all that stuff and get paid doing all those things. So yeah, it was amazing. Yep. All right. So speaking about being gone, you know, 200, 300 days per year, and I'll go to Jared on this one, because I know you've had to deal with it a lot, because you're always gone and you're always doing things. You're always, you know, working and jobbing it out. That's our attitude. How do you prevent burnout, you know, between all these different things that you have going on? What are some of the strategies that you have and you'd recommend to guys?
Well, I can tell you right now how the career field tries to maintain a good operator balance, to make sure, or at least to try and mitigate some of the burnout from the operators, is to, you'll do a certain amount of time on team, you know, maybe it's 4 years, 5 years. And then, you know, you, within that time, you've had several deployments. And then from there, you'll potentially go to an instructor gig, where you're home most of the time. There still could be occasional TDYs, but you're pretty much home, and you're going to be there for 3 to 4 years, depending on what the location and the job is. And then you can go straight back to a team, and you can be on a team, knock out some more deployments. Or there's also opportunity for schools. There's opportunity to go be part of a staff at a major command, or kind of, I mean, really, I saw guys and myself also is like, hey, man, I've been jobbing. I need to just like put me in a position, even still within the unit. Give me 6 months to just catch up on appointments, my life, my family. Like, give me a chance to catch up. And then after 6 months, put me right back on team. And we would do that for guys. Other than that, I just made sure that I hit the gym every day that I could, because even now, that's the only way that I stay sane.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, right, you just... I think, especially after you're married and then after you have kids, you have to, as an operator or a team guy, you really have to look at your family, because it's not really in most of our nature to be like, hey, you're burning me out. And it's, you have to start to try to balance that out yourself a little bit, to a certain extent, or you have to watch out for your boys, you know, and be like, you know, this dude, how's your family doing? You know, you have to ask your bros about it. Cause they might not be thinking about it that much, or they might not even realize, you know, the effects that it's having on their personal life. So yeah, you have to watch out for yourself and watch out for your boys and watch out for your family, or your teammates. I shouldn't call them boys anymore, right? That's bad. but you know what I mean? And, you know, I think we all fall into that trap every once in a while. It's like, you have this, like, your first love, at least for me, because I didn't get married until, you know, my first couple of rotations, is like, your first love is team life, you know, and you like being gone and you like being on the job and you like doing all these other things. And you try to add, you know, people into that, and you might not know that you're stressing them out, and then they start to stress you out, and before you know it, you know, you're driving down the road and you're feeling a little bit out of control, and you're like, what is this, you know? And sometimes, yeah, it takes, you know, one of your friends, your teammates, to be like, dude, maybe you should think about what's going on, and maybe you should take a break, and maybe you should talk to your supervisor about it, or whoever. So
yeah, a lot of times it's not something that you internally volunteer and recognize. It takes an outside voice to kind of slap some sense into you.
Yeah, that's happened to me a lot as I've been going through, like, not only the pipeline, but PA school. There's a lot of times where I'm just stressed out, and then my wife's just like, are you okay? Like, what's going on with you? Why are you just getting upset about all these little things that are going on? And it's just like, sorry, I didn't realize it. Okay, I got this test, I got, you know, all this stuff going on. And but just like on team, it's the same way. You should be like I was saying, you're going TDY back and forth with all these dudes, and you're spending more time with them than you are, honestly, your own family for a while there. So you know, whenever you show up one day and you see whoever just in the corner not wanting to talk to people, or just sipping his coffee, like not wanting to look at anybody, you're like, dude, what's going on with you? Like, what's going on? Talk to me. So yeah, those are huge things. And I used to say the same thing to guys that were in selection and in doc, is just look at the guy next to you. Shows up to work or formation, and he's all messed up and he's not wanting to talk to anybody, not eating his food, or, you know, just something's a little off. Talk to that dude, because you're going to need it later on whenever they're having a good day and you're not having a good day. So I think that's one of the big things. And as a leader, you should be able to recognize that for sure. And just say, hey, dude, just let this guy go take a breather, just so he can get his mind right. And they'll be, whoever that is, he's appreciative for letting them have that time to just vent and come back to work. All right, go ahead, take your time. But whenever you come back to work, let me know and we'll get ready to rock and roll. All right. So just having that back and forth relationship and knowing the dude.
Yeah, really, you got to know when to take dudes off TDYs. Like if you're that troop chief or that troop commander, or you're in some kind of leadership role, you've got to be able to recognize that guy and you're like, you know what? He may not want to talk about help right now, or, you know, talk with me and just vent, but maybe this next 2 week TDY is not the best for him. So why don't I leave him home and just let him work on himself, encourage him to take leave or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we have a saying in the military, right? Like, it's not just the military member that joins the military. It's the whole family joins the military. And I think especially for career fields like this, it's especially true. And I'm kind of trying to talk to the people out there that have a spouse that are thinking about joining. like, you need to have some really open and honest communications and understand what you both are getting yourselves into, because it's a two-way street. And I think the more communication you have on the front end and the expectation management, I think it helps a lot. Otherwise, you know, if you're just like, hey, I'm going to go join this thing, and they're like, cool, that sounds cool, and you don't go through, like, in reality what it's going to actually mean, it can make it harder than it has to be.
Man, you're so right. Trent, when you're on a deployment, how often do you get to talk to your family?
I mean, it depends on the deployment. I've had, like, my first deployment, we didn't have a lot of communications, so it was kind of hard to get a line out. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, we were still pooping in buckets. So, you know, I talk to my family every once in a while. And then, you know, I've had deployments where, you know, I had my sat phone, and, you know, our comms were much better, and I was able to call home once or twice a week, or every day if I really needed to, depending on what was happening. And then there's deployments where you can't talk that much. Or, I mean, it's not beneficial to talk that much, because what are you doing? It's like, nothing. Yeah. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't ask me that question.
Like, what did you eat for lunch and dinner? Again, I had a salad with chicken. Again, I put barbecue sauce on it instead of ketchup this time.
Yeah, send me hot sauce, because, yeah.
But, I mean, and depending on the location, you could potentially have Wi-Fi, maybe not, but you'll have some kind of connectivity. And then there's obviously satellite phones and all that kind of stuff. But even then, so say you don't have Wi-Fi and all you're dealing with is a satellite phone, you're still probably not calling every day. I mean, that's, unless something's going on at home, you know, it's not that it's some pain in the ass. It's just that if you're at a remote FOB and they don't have much there except for one satellite phone, every dude wants to use that. So it's not beneficial to call on every single day.
Yeah. Now, yeah, it depends on the location, though. There are places that I've been that were just like, all right, you got Wi-Fi pretty much. You walk down the street and there's a little something that has Wi-Fi, and you can just send an email, text, or whatever, like, hey, I'm good, or something. I don't know.
Whatever. The old green bean.
Yeah, the old green bean. Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, not as good as Alpha Brew, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I will say, don't do what I did. I went 3 weeks without calling my wife, and during that time, I had gotten into some stuff and gotten injured, and somebody else told my wife, like, just in passing, because she just kind of assumed that my wife knew, and she didn't, so I felt that one a little bit.
Yeah.
I learned my lesson.
I'm still feeling that one.
No. I'm not feeling it out, but it was definitely like, yeah, that was really dumb. Why didn't I just pick up the phone and call her? So when I got hurt again, it was immediate, like, hey, what's up? I'm good. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hearing bad news from somebody else when you should hear it from your significant other generally doesn't go over that well.
Yeah. Well, and OPSEC is hard, right? Sometimes you want to be like, hey, I can't talk to you for a while. They're like, how long is a while? You're like, I can't say. It could be like, you know, I don't know. You know, you don't want to say it because it is what it is. Yeah. But
anyway. Yeah, that's the thing that you got to be careful with. You're like, I'm going to call you on this day. And then for some reason, you know, something pops off and you're not able to call them. Because you're gone or you're doing whatever, you're out to some other FOB and you're just like, oh crap, now they're going to think that something's wrong. I don't know how I'm going to send a message. They're going to sit there and worry. I mean, they're going to be calling everybody. So
no news is good news.
But I think to that point, it's important when you first get on team to make friends, like maybe not friends, but like you need to know your supervisor or some of the more experienced guys on team and maybe meet their family, get your family to meet their family. And so that your significant other just isn't stuck in the dark thinking the worst possible things they can possibly see because all they know is Hollywood movies. And if you don't call, then you're definitely never coming home or whatever. And they can be like, hey, it's cool. This happens all the time. And kind of help them through it, having that support system. And speaking of support systems, Brian, what resources are available to help mitigate, you know, impacts on the family and personal stress and all those other types of things.
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest thing that we did was the squadron commander's wife or one of the key spouses kind of just, they always set up a little group and they talk to each other, at least tell each other what's going on when they're coming home, what the situation is on, you know, just the deployment overall and changes that have happened. And that is comforting. My wife has never been like, really relying heavily on whatever is going on, and she's pretty self-sustaining. Although there are times when she wants to get information and just to know, like, hey, I don't know when I haven't been able to contact Brian, you know, what's going on with him. So she has a third party, or that, or the shirt. You can always, if you're a wife, you can talk to the shirt and they'll help you out and get whatever resolved, because there are times when, you know, just stuff happens at the house and they need help or something. And usually it'd be, you know, me doing whatever has to be done. But the squadrons are awesome because they have just people that are willing to help out for a person on deployment, because they know that if everything's not good at home with the kids, the wife and everything, then that's on your mind when you're on deployment. And we don't want anybody in a situation where they have to be thinking about other stuff that's back home when they taking their focus off of what's going on over there in theater. So those are some of the bigger resources that we had at the squadron, as well as like resilience training. And I'm sure you guys will get into all the resilience and the little trips that we used to take afterward and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's such an amazing asset and program that we have in place that, you know, Special Operations Command specifically put in place. And I mean, I can't think of any person that within special tactics or special warfare that hasn't utilized, the majority of those functions that they provide. And I know we've gone over it in the past, but just to kind of run down, and I'm sure I'll forget somebody or a position, but the POTF has got a mixture of psychiatrists, social workers, dietitians, strength coach, physical therapist, a flight doctor, a sports medicine person. Am I leaving one out? I'm kind of doing this off the top of my head. Chaplain as well. Yep. And usually there's also an IDMT mixed into that as well to help out with some of the medical scenarios, or a PA as well. So.
Yeah. And it's just the community in general is super supportive. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing as far as I can tell. You know, my wife isn't, you know, she doesn't need a lot of help all the time, or she has maybe a better understanding than some of the other spouses of what's going on, but there's always people that are available, and all of your friends and all their spouses. And it's comforting when you're heading out the door to know that all those things are available, and they don't just care about you. They care about, you know, your whole life, because they want you to be able to do your job.
Yep. Because if you're focused on the home life, you can't focus on the mission.
Yeah. The idea is kind of to think of the special operations in the Air Force as kind of like a airplane, and they have all these maintainers, they have all these assets to keep the, you know, jet up and running. It's the same thing for the guys that are going out the door, to like the controllers, SR, PJs and everything. Want to keep you as mentally sharp as possible, emotionally, you know, spiritually, all those things as sharp as possible, so you can execute the mission without any stoppage, just like you were saying. So that's kind of the idea behind the POTF, Preservation of the Force and Family Initiative, just to take care of the dudes and take care of the families so everyone can run as efficiently as possible.
Well, I guess this one's probably for me, huh? Since yeah, I'm the only one that had kids overseas.
I just wanted to throw this out there for anybody that's going to be, you know, has kids and they're thinking about joining the military. We're talking about living in a different country. Leo and I are stationed in England. So, you know, not, a lot of people don't get to experience that or have their kids experience that. So what was it like to have your kids growing up in a different country? I guess you're in a unique situation since your wife's also British. But
yeah. So I think it was phenomenal, just because it the opportunities that it provided. I mean, I was able to take my daughter to Stratford-upon-Avon, where Shakespeare, you know, was born, his house, where he did all his writings and where he'd walk to London, and then going through and taking my daughter and my family as well, because at that time my son was newborn, but you know, taking them around to all the Tower Bridge, Big Ben, Parliament, you know, all those different historical things, just making them more culturally aware that, you know, what they know here now in America, that's not the only thing that exists. There's other stuff out there that you can learn from and you can take traits and characteristics from. It's just life learning. What was that?
No, that's when you walk through there and you're like, okay, in 1776, this is what happened. These people were becoming a little oppressive. And so, you know, we had to bow up on them a bit.
I actually had that conversation. We watched The Patriot the other night. I was like, see that? Look at that. The red coats. I was like, they still wear red coats too. My daughter's like, what?
That's a good history right there.
Yeah. But it was, to go back to it, it was phenomenal having the kids over there. And they have that experience. And now, you know, they see things, or at least my daughter sees things and recognizes names. And it's like, oh, yeah. And when we go, hey, you've been there. And then we show a picture. It's like, oh, I start to remember it now. So it was really good. That's and nice. I wouldn't change anything.
I mean, I think the overall experience is pretty good for kids. You know, right now I get to be like, I can pull out the globe and show my kids, you know, where I've been, where mom's been, you know, all these different things. They're like, oh, what's it like? You know, and then I can pull up a YouTube video and be like, yeah. And actually there's like a movie coming out. Be like, this is Cop Keating. And it was a terrible place, you know? So, but I mean, I think it helps open their eyes to really how big and diverse the world is. And then you can give them different perspectives.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I felt like I was a kid when I was first going out there in Europe and like experiencing different cultures for the first time and not just reading about it in a book and meeting all these people. It helped me grow as a person overall. So, I'd love to be able to take my kids over to a different country one day and just show them like, hey, there's not a Chick-fil-A around every corner. You know, you don't get to have McDonald's or Happy Meals or whatever. Well, maybe you do. I guess McDonald's is kind of everywhere now. But, you know, just the things that we take for granted as Americans, a lot of other countries don't really get to have. And they have a bunch of other different traditions that are awesome. So I think it's really cool to be able to share that kind of stuff. And
well, it's unique. You know, you to go to a country that has siestas. And you're like, all right, cool. Yeah. Let's go out for something to eat. And then you're like, it's empty. There's no one around. Well, they're having a siesta.
We call it nap time. They call it siestas. It's whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. I always get hungry during siesta. I don't know why. It's just like, open up.
They're like, no wonder these Americans are so fat.
I think it starts in basic, though. I mean, you realize how different people in different parts of America are. You know, and like Guam and Puerto Rico, and you get all meshed in together. And I don't know. I think overall, it's a good experience for family absolutely. Members.
Yeah, we had in basic training, we had people that had never tasted a taco. I had never tasted chicken cordon bleu before, but I went to basic training.
That's our favorite subject.
Just, a little bit different, but you know, I'm just saying the mixing of cultures. All right, so last question, just because I get a lot of people. I'm sure we all get a lot of people that ask the question like, hey, I have a family. I don't think this, you know, spec war is for me because I have a family and I want to go down the family route. So what would you guys say to those guys that are thinking about joining, have a family, and they're just like, I don't think it's for me because I have a family or I want to have a family one day?
Okay. So I'll take that one first. I would say careful not jumping right into it because you are going to have regrets. And I think where Trent mentioned you have that open, honest conversation and communication because you really do have to be upfront and honest about it. If you hide something like that, like, hey, I'm going to be deployed this much or you're going to be sleeping alone this much, like that would be messed up to hide that. So as long as you're upfront, honest, and you get that support, go for it. Because if not, you're just going to regret it. That is going to stick with you for a very long time.
Yes. You know those people that are like, we're going to have a kid to save our marriage, you know? Like, that's how I think about it. Like, it adds more stress.
It always works out. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But, like, we say that it's all kind of the same thing. We say, hey, the pipeline is hard. The career field is hard. It's hard to do what we do. Mostly what you guys do. I'm pretty easy. But that makes it all worth it, right? And you need to approach everything in life in the same way. And I think if you do, open and honest with yourself, honest with other people, and realize that it's going to be difficult, but the payoff for doing difficult things is typically pretty amazing. So, that's how I approach it, right? You play the long game. You say, this is going to be difficult. And then, sometimes it's pretty hard. So it can be hard across the board. And then there's always unforeseen things. You're gone maybe more than you thought you were going to be. There's always new things that come up, like the what's an average day like for you guys? And we're always like, we don't know. You know what I mean? We're gone all the time. Things come up. And that's hard. That's hard for you, and it's hard for your family, you know, and then you have kids. And but from my experience and where I'm at, things are still pretty good. And yeah, you work really hard at it, just like anything else. And, it is what it is. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you never know when something's going to kick off, whether it's a hurricane rolling through and now you get alerted, or there's a plane crash, you know.
Yeah, I want to just throw this out there too for those guys that are like, well, I have a girlfriend and she doesn't like the idea of me joining special warfare. I just want to put out my own experience. I had a girlfriend before I came in also, and she didn't like the idea of me doing what I wanted to do. So she's not I don't know where she is anymore, honestly. So I said, this is what I want to do in my life. And if the person doesn't want to, you know, support me in what I want to do, it's probably going to be the same for a lot of other things that we encounter in our life. So you have to, like Peach is saying, you have to go for those things that you are really passionate about, and realize when you're 19, 20, 21, like I said, you're still kind of forming the person that you are. And before you have all of these experiences around the world and traveling, hanging out with adults, you know, in the military that are strict, and they're going to teach you how to do your finances, teach you how to like be an adult in real life. Because I wasn't an adult until, like I said, after I probably moved away from England and had my own house. So it took a long time, and I wasn't the same person on the other end that I was before I joined the military. So like I said, if you have a girlfriend and you think that it might be worth it or might not, but you guys are already disagreeing on this one thing that you really want to do, don't make yourself regret what you would have been able to do in the future and be, you know, 45, 50 years old, unable to join the Air Force and do the thing that you wanted to do. So I just want to throw that part out there. But for me, I've seen a ton of people, you know, including myself in the Air Force, that have had to deploy multiple times and still have a family. It's all just what you do with the time that you have. You know, every minute that I'm home, I'm, you know, split between a million different things at any given moment. But anytime that I do something, especially when it's with my kids, my wife, you know, I give it 100% attention and try and let them know whenever I'm here, like, all of my attention is for you and I'm going to pay attention because I love you and that kind of stuff. So there's a balance that you have to find between that. Like, okay, I've been doing whatever this is for a really long time and I need to really focus because I've been not spending time with my kids and I know it, and they're acting like they haven't been spending time with me. And you know when that is. So it's all about just making that balance. It's a game, and you're going to mess up a lot of times and you're going to have a lot of arguments, and you're going to continue to do that no matter how good at balancing you get. It's just going to happen. But those are some of the things that I would recommend for guys. It's not like it's a zero, like you shouldn't do it if you want a family. It's just about how mature you want to be. And, you know, if you care about more than one thing, then balance those out, figure out a way. Just like everything else we do. Yep. You guys got anything else on that?
No, I'm glad you covered the girlfriend thing.
Yeah. I mean, I used to tell the guys at prep, like, you know, like, I wasn't ready to be married until after my first couple rotations. You know, I had my list of things to do, and I don't think I was prepared for how much my first couple deployments changed me. and kind of opened my eyes to the world and changed my viewpoints on a lot of things. And tens attract tens, you know, like you accomplish your goals and it is what it is. And you become the person that you want to be. And then I think it makes things a lot easier. But if you already have that person with you and you already, you know, have that foundation, then they need to be along for the ride and support you to become who you want to be. But just make sure that you're supporting back. You're reciprocating that the right way. I don't know if that makes sense at all.
Well, Brian, unless you got anything else, I'm going to wrap us up and summarize.
Do it.
Sweet. Okay. We appreciate you guys joining us. Some of the things that we covered today was, hey, how much are you actually going to see your family and what are some of the limitations involved with you being on team, deploying, being an instructor, and just know that Special Warfare is going to try and do their best to take care of you and your family. And that's the same with Special Operations Command as well. And your direct supervisor should be looking out for you as well. And at least from my experience, I think every single one of my supervisors have always looked out for me. And because they're so experienced, recognized that I needed to take a step back, or maybe they didn't tell me, but hey, we're going to take you off this trip so you can go do this or whatever. So we also talked about when your family is going to be able to move in with you in the pipeline, if you happen to come in with a family or you're cross training. Let's see, what else did we talk about? We talked about deployment life, how often you get to talk to your family during deployment. We talked about the POTF initiative and all the great resources they provide and how important and integral they are to the success of our people. And then we talked about my kids a lot in the UK. And then we talked about, hey, if you got a girlfriend and you guys are disagreeing, just make the right choice.
Oh, and the other thing that I forgot to mention on that, just to, as a side note, because I want to throw it in there, is once you actually become a CCT, PJ, SR, whatever, there's a certain amount of confidence that you gain. And when you go out, there are more people that, you know, you'll have more opportunities than when you were before. You know, you'll be through one of the hardest pipelines, you'll be in amazing shape, you'll have confidence, and you'll be around a bunch of other people that are
like-minded, you know, people.
Like-minded. So
the amount of doors that open up for you because the networking and the people that you get to meet is incredible.
So I just want to throw that out there also because I forgot to mention it in the first part. But thanks, Peach, for wrapping it up.
No worries. Well, again, please subscribe on YouTube. Leave us comments, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, please. We hope you've enjoyed it, and remember to visit our Alpha Brew Coffee Company, Strike Force Energy, and Eberly Stock, and use the promo code One's Ready. You guys have a good one. Later.
Later.
Earn each breath. Later.